would take a lot of whoa whoas to blow those out.
I can follow directions.
I want to thank the sponsorship group for their continuous love and support for a guy like me. You know, if I didn't have such wonderful men and women to work with, I would have no decent place to put this energy and this love that I have. But you people, both the men and the women, with hardly any exception, have given me the opportunity to say, here, pass this on. And you pass it on better. You add you to it so it becomes improved. As soon as you accept it, then you pass it on. It's even more than I gave you. You add to it. We were talking, I was with some guys the other night. I don't know a person that I have ever sponsored. I never fooled with these hard-head guys. Except me, I'm a hard-head. But we counted up of the 25 guys that I sponsor who are sober more than 20 years. You know. And not a single one of those guys can I say, or none of the girls either, who has a mean heart. That's always what I've always looked for in people. A kind heart. I could teach you anything, but I don't know how I could teach you kindness. How many times have you heard me say that? But the men that come up here and spoke so kindly about me, I will guarantee to you, I've been with these guys through thick and thin. They have good hearts. They're good guys. They're good men. And they're men that I admire, and I salute you guys. You're not quitters. You followed old Joe Lear's instructions on AA. His instructions are down to two words. One is start, and the second word is continue. That's the whole deal. It's nothing complicated in Alcoholics Anonymous. Let me tell you what I think has been given to us. Us being the real word. God, as I understand God, he's real big and he's real funny. God's real funny. He's got enough preachers. He's got all these real smart people, you know. But God's a little short on clowns. So I thought, well, what I would be, just a clown for God. I've been a fool for lesser things, but that's what I want to be. Just a clown for God. And I think that lightens our heart. And when our heart lightens, the chance for hope of recovery is increased. This is what I believe. And so what I want to say to you guys, the gift that you have, and to know it, the great universities would love to have the talent and the ability you have at your fingertips. And so would some real serious medical people would love to have this. And you have the power to touch a guy like me 29 years ago, whose solution to life's problems was suicide. Alcohol allowed me to postpone suicide long enough to get to you. That's really what happened. And when I got to you, I found these people. They didn't hug me and kiss me. I went to this Hallmark part at all. They didn't do none of that BS. They said, you know, do you want to stop drinking? I said, yeah, I want to stop drinking. And then they said, we have an answer. I said, yeah, it'll work. What do I do? Follow us. Follow us. And then I ran into a couple of smart guys. Oh, Tom, you should get into a step study group. So I got a sponsor who was a fantastic guy. And he says, there's nothing to study in Alcoholics Anonymous. There's things to do. Remember this, that the people who wrote this book, the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, they did these steps before they wrote it. That's what they did. And that's what I did. I did the steps. I didn't understand them. And that's what AA and this power and this electric thing that you turn on inside of you, it's in every man or woman. When you do that, you go do it. You're trusting somebody who you can see, who is just as imperfect as me. But you're trusting that person. And then when you start to trust that imperfect person, look how easy it becomes for a suspicious person to start to trust God. See? But we got to start somewhere, don't we? So we trust the sponsor. What do you have? If you go to some place where everybody's holy and good, and I go in there, I'm an adulterer, I'm an embezzler. They're going to tell me how virtuous they are. What am I going to say? I'm going to get lockjaw and look for the door. That's what I'm going to do. And you did the same thing. A lot of people tried to help you. You turned to them because you thought you weren't good enough. Well, when you're all wrong for the rest of the world, you are perfect for us. You're absolutely perfect. You ain't got to do nothing. Just get in here, sit down, and shut up. You don't have anything we want. You don't even have anything you want. That's the reason you're here. Just shut up and listen to, or find a girl who has what you want. You don't have to know anything. Follow her. Don't get no sunburn. It's real simple. You just do what she does and you get what she's got. What's so tough about that? What is needed? Nothing is needed but trust. Now you all have the gift to touch and save the life. Not only save the life. If they said, well, just going to save your life. Hell, I'm thinking about suicide. What's worth saving? You know? Another mischance? No. Not only save the life, but increase the quality of living. That's what it's about. To make life worth living. And you have that talent within you like no other group of people I've ever known in the world. And you can see I've been around the world quite a few years. And I have. And you have that talent. And you see her? See Kathy? Look at the eyes. Her work in AA has done for her eyes what Maybelline never could do. That's true. That's true stuff. The lights go on. Have you seen the new girl or new guy walk through the door? They look, the lights are off. You look at them and the lights are off and nobody home. Nobody even home. You know, they even talk. Their voice is hollow. I'm just a little thirsty. You don't mind. Now, these young guys that I travel with, they keep me moving, see? They keep me moving. And we came from Friday night. Where were we? Portsmouth? Maine? Port Lauderdale, where I am. They just I mean, what do I have to know? When they stop the plane, that's where I'm supposed to be. See, I don't tell the pilot where to stop the plane. He stops the plane, I get off. It's that simple. There's some guy says, I'm from the Portland group, get in the car, Tom. And I say the most spiritual words an alcoholic could say, okay. There we go. And that's it. You have these talents. It's within you. It's within you. You have the talent to do for a man or a woman what dedicated clergymen and clergywomen cannot do. And you have that power within you now. Now. Tonight. And you have the power of recovery for a man or a woman who's been to all kinds of medical and other kinds of places for an answer. Not only do you have the power to show them how to get sober one day at a time, you have the power to see them recover and live a life that has power, beauty, direction, usefulness. And it will make a difference in the course of history and human existence that you lived and you contributed. you lived and you became a part of the answer for mankind's problems. That's when you have, and that is your talent, and you gotta learn to use it. You should, you've already paid for it. You're paid up in full when you get through this door. See, you know, you are experts on what does not work. There's some people coming through there, maybe I'll do this, or you know, maybe I'll do a Wheaties diet or something. You know. So, oh, honey, I did that years ago, it didn't work, you know. Oh, I think it did, it, you know. Put crumbs on my floor or some shit like that. And let me tell you the greatest hope that you can give to a human being. People will watch you. People will watch you. And I'm going to tell you what touches me. Your actions will speak so loud that people will seldom be able to hear what you say. But they will watch your feet and they know what you do. See? And they see it work in you. Now, where does the hope come from? When the new guy walks through the door and says, this guy was an adulterer, he got divorced, he was an embezzler, and he's up there and he's got a loving God that laughs at him, and he has a lot of people who know the worst about him, and they like him anyway, you know. And they say, wow, there's hope for me. Because, you know, that guy is at least as bad as me, and I know he's older than me, so he was bad before me. And I talked to him, and he says he also did that crap better than me. So I have hope right away, tonight. I have the hope that if he is recovered, I can be recovered, and the crap in my life is no barrier between me and God. No barrier at all. In fact, just like if you're walking down a road, some little kid skipping down the road, okay, you wave to him. Some old little kid is limping down the road, right? Which one would you stop and help? Probably the little kid that's limping down the road because of the love within you, right? You would stop and help. And I think God feels the same way. He sees a drunk like me going down the road. He says, not always, yeah, he's mine, you know. He's very wayward. And God will stop and help me. And it will do the same for you because you're like me. See? And you can have what I have because you're like me. Yes. It's yours. It belongs to you. God is your father. You're in God's family. You're his daughter. You're his son. It belongs to you. It's your birthright. You inherited it. Okay. Pick it up, use it. Can you make it even more than what you have received? Yes. How do you make it more? By passing it on to the person that comes in after you. That's how you do it. See? That's how you do it. You pass it on. Your experience. See? Your strength. I don't drink on, what's the day? I don't even know what day it is. Day Sunday? Yeah. So I don't drink on Sundays. Well, I don't know. I just don't drink on Sundays. Now, I came to different places years ago. I was going to stop forever. That didn't work, and it failed. So I came to AA, and I got a sponsor, and he says, don't stop forever. Why don't you just postpone the drink? You never failed. Did you ever do that? No, I never did that. Well, he said, well, you haven't failed at it then. Do that. Why'd you want to come in here and do something you failed at? So I just don't drink on Sundays. Now, that's happened for 29 years for me. It seems like 9 years. It's been so fast because I've been in action with all these people. Now, I want you to know that if you would look at somebody with a camera, and I work with some people, I put a lot of effort into them. Maybe I just didn't touch them right. And it just, nothing happens. Okay? In other words, just take off. You know, and just carry this message better than them. And then the messenger pigeon. So when I call people pigeons, I don't care what you think of it. The problem's in your ears, it's not in my lips. See, a pigeon's a messenger carrier. See, that's what it is. That comes from World War I. When Bill, her co-founder, was an artillery officer in the Army. And they used pigeons because at that time radios weren't as reliable as it is. And they were getting shelled by the Germans. and they were a little pissed off about getting killed, so they wanted to improve communications. So anyway, that's beside the story. But this is a very interesting program of recovery. And it's filled, you can see it's filled with appreciative, loving people. If you in this room and you're in the recovery, you're sitting in a room of thoroughbreds. These are not plow horses. These are thoroughbreds. If you don't know the difference, you better go somewhere else. Take your own asbestos suit. You got it, huh? You like it? Good. That pleases me. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. He was trying to tell you about the story. I was coming up here last couple months ago, and the Pope was here in the United States. This really happened. And they had some of the Secret Service guys, and they had some of the Swiss Guard from the Vatican, the Pope's Guard. And they had the Swiss Guard in civilian clothes, and they mixed them in with the United States Secret Service guys to protect the Pope. And he had four of them there. You can see how they were sharp-looking young guys, you know. And the Pope's walking in, you know. And I said, that looks nice. So I get out of the car here on the lot, and six sharp-looking guys come out on the lot. I said, Jesus, these guys look as good as the Secret Service or the people, you know. And, you know, I got six. The Pope's only got four. That was the Sunday that a drunk outranked the Pope. So we come a long way, baby. And it was these guys here. See, these guys that take the meeting into the Newark jail. Is that right, John? Yeah. That's what makes them so classy. They take the meeting into the Newark jail regularly. That's what they do. So they can learn to love God's kids. How in the hell can you learn to love God if you can't even learn to love his kids who you see? I had the opportunity years ago to talk to Mother Teresa one-on-one. I did some stuff that I'm capable of doing, like dumb stuff, around the house where her nuns in Baltimore run a house for people really down and out, the lowest that are low. And they have medical help that comes in here. But the guys are so weak, they can't even move boxes around. So I would get boxes of groceries. And that's about the level of my intelligence. And I could put them in the gate. Who's there? Okay. Boom. And I could do that. So that was my talent. And when Teresa came here to renew the vows of some of her younger nuns. So the nun said, this is Tom, Teresa, you know. He does all that, and she just looks at me and smiles. She's not really nice looking for a smile. She could use some dental work, too. But, but what do you mean to say? She was alarm for call or some shit? What do you want me to say? I'm telling you what I saw. What am I supposed to do? So I said to her, Teresa, what's the hardest thing you ever had to do? And she said, recognize God in his most disgusting disguises. Boom. She could have hit me with a 2x4 across the chest, and it would have had less effect. Boy, I could just feel the power of her, this little nun. You know? And she was something else. And 3 weeks later, I'm going up to Philadelphia to meet my sister, who is a nun, who's hanging out in Philadelphia now. She's hanging out in Brussels and Benares and Rome, poor girl. You know, and all that kind. She taught at McGill up in Montreal. She's got all kinds of degrees, you know, and she'd rather work with drunks, and she's not a drunk. She just has poor taste like her brother, you know. And my sister had to tell me, she says, Tom, I think I'm finally going to tell you why I love you so much. And I thought it was because of my spiritual growth. That's what I really thought. Well, I was wrong. That's not what she thought. She loved me because I ate her spinach. That's the mission. Yes. Can you imagine what it brings? I'm looking at something spiritual. And she's talking about spinach. Well, we had 9 kids in the family, and you couldn't get up from the dinner table unless she cleaned off your plate. And of course, when she was young, 15 or 6, she had girlfriends she wanted to go out with, like all girls do, boys. And she hated spinach, and I used to sit next to her. She would just scrape it off of my plate, and I would eat it. And she would get up and turn in her empty plate and leave. And that's the reason she loved me. She'd go play with her girlfriends because I ate her spinach. Ain't that nice? This is she's a nun 50 years. And that's what she remembers. Ain't that something? So we never know. It's not important that we know anything. It's not really important. It's more important that we do. Well, how can I do something I don't understand? Follow your partner, your sponsor. She understands. He understands. It's only one of you have to understand, and it ain't you. It's real simple. Follow the directions. That's all. See? Now, my sponsor told me the rule between me and him was very simple. He says, I'd rather step on your toes than stand on your grave. That's how I am. I don't want to go to your funeral. You know. And I'm going to tell you the truth as I see it. I am not the trustee for the truth. I have a version. And it changes from time to time. See? Because if it stayed the same all the time, I guess I would not be growing, would I, Catherine? So you think it's okay for me to change, huh? Thank you, Catherine. I trust you. I was say. Now, you girls that have her for a sponsor, you do the same thing that I do. You ask her a question. She'll give you an answer. That's it. She knows what she's talking about. That's all we do. So you all have the great gift. What do you do with it? Well, you can sit on it. If you sit by yourself, I'm going to tell you what's in your mind. Well, I've been sober for a few years, and I should have this, and I should have that, and I don't. And you start getting into depression, don't you? Well, stop doing that shit. Cease and desist shitting around in your head, because that's how the results you're going to get. What do you do? What you do is you turn your thoughts to someone you can help. And as Steve Reynolds told you, the guy that moved to York, which he doesn't like too much, at the suggestion of a guy he didn't like too much, you know, I love this guy because he's straight up and he's honest. And I can rely on him. See? If Steve wants to tell you to go to hell, he'll tell you to go to hell. But he can do it in such a way you'll run home and pack. He's thrown in his head, though. That's how they are in Alcoholics Anonymous. See? These people, when they tell you something, you listen for malice. If you hear no malice, do it. You won't hear any malice out of these people. There's no malice in their hearts. They're here to help you. Why? Because the better off they are, the better off you are. It's that simple. It's a we program, ain't it? It's like a team. Don't you think if the quarterback's got two good linemen blocking for him, he'll complete more passes? Of course he will, won't he? Well, if you got two guys you're working with and they're helping you work with a third guy, don't you think the third guy's got more of a shot? It's very simple. Very simple. And you got this talent. How do you harness it up? You do steps 4 and 5 to find out what the hell you got in your life. See? Oh, they did this, they... Recovery does not start until fixing blame ceases. See? Oh, I'm an alcoholic because this guy, when I was 15... in high school, he treated me this way, and I didn't feel right. Well, how you felt at 15 is responsible for a 15-year-old girl. Now you're 25. You're still 15, and you're immature. Your problem is not that guy. Your problem is current immaturity. That's your problem. If you're 25, you're still acting like a 15-year-old. That's a good definition for immaturity, isn't it? Sure it is. And you got a God that's okay for a 15-year-old girl. But you need a God that's okay for a 20-year-old girl. because she's a young woman. See what I mean? Sure. It's that simple. You have all these tools and all these powers available to you tonight by people who are currently using them. Ain't that nice? They know how it works. They are already road tested. Isn't that right, Caroline? Yeah. Is that your daughter, Caroline? She's pretty. She takes her to mama. You're pretty, honey. You've got a pretty mama. She's pretty inside and outside. I've seen her help people. I respect your mama, and as I do you. That's true. The women in AC have taught me courage. I've been in battles, okay, where people were killed in places I didn't want to go to. All right. Where I learned courage is from women and Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay. Now, society has faced or forced certain rules and regulations on the conduct of women in public. And women accept it. Why they do, I don't know why they accept it. They seem in other areas too smart for that bullshit. But anyway, I don't know what I do. But that's only my opinion. That's all. But when I watch a woman up here in order to help her sisters, she admits some stuff about herself that's not too complimentary by social standards, I know what I'm looking at. She knows those standards, and she's coming from her heart, not her brain. She knows how to use her brain. She can get me to take out the garbage, can't she? I know the difference. I've been around long enough, see? And that's when you're really looking at courage. She's telling the truth about herself, see? And that's courage. That's what courage is. So if you're an Alcoholics Anonymous and you're around people like Catherine and Carolyn and Patty and Robin, people like that who help other people on a regular basis, you'll be taught to live the way I live. St. Tom taught me this. I learned it all, 100%, from you. Okay? So if you're going to say Tom this time, just say we. Just say we. I happen to be part of the we. I don't know whether I'm the W or the E. Take your choice. I don't care. Whatever's left is you. Okay, it's we. It's that simple. What has happened to me as a result of that? My whole life has changed. How I see things has changed. We learn to see things differently. Now, what is Alcoholics Anonymous all about? Is it, I just want to be a better person. Go to church. They got some people who give you virtues and all, you know. They'll give you all the goodness you can stand. Okay. What is Alcoholics Anonymous? Holy old guy last night said, Alcoholics Anonymous is one alcoholic talking with another alcoholic for the sole purpose of lowering his or her set of, what am I supposed to do? Okay. Note, supposed to stop talking? Say something.
No, Patty's going to get, that's her job.
That's your job? Okay. One alcoholic talking with another alcoholic. For the sole purpose of taking some actions he does not yet believe in. That's what Alcoholics Anonymous. For just lowering one's sense of difference to take some actions he or she does not yet believe in. And the actions produce the results. It's just like you go into a bakery, you have old-time bakeries, you know, and they smell terrific when you go into old-time bakery. Well, the baker didn't start out to create an aroma to please you. He started out to bake bread so he could make some money and sell the loaf to you. But the byproduct of the baking produces the pleasant aroma. So it is with the action, see. The byproduct of the action produces the spiritual awakening. And what's a spiritual awakening? Does it mean you run off and become holy? And no, Christ, that we couldn't stand you. You got enough people out there holy. You ever see them? They got their real thin lips looking around. Somebody, somebody in this room is having fun. And it's my job to stop it.
That's not us.
And here we have them full and say, somebody in this room is not having fun. And it's my job to show them how to have the fun that a child of God is supposed to have. That's all. You're just a child of God. And He can do everything. And He loves you.
How do you know He loves me, Tom?
Because He made you. That's how you know He loves you. Did you ever dream... What's your first name, young lady? What is it? Jessica? That's a pretty name. You're a pretty girl. Well, let me tell you about you little girls. You think, oh, someday you're real little. I love talking to little girls because they're such dreamers. And their dreams are so pretty. And it's, oh, I just wish I would be a star. Well, let me tell you something, ladies. When God made the world, He made this big bang thing. You know that all this dust and shit's flying around like that. And some of it became like stars and some became planets like the Earth, right? And that's what we have. But the Earth is made of all that stuff, ain't it? The star stuff. The same stuff that made the stars made the Earth, right? And you were made from the Earth, weren't you, Janet? So you were made of star stuff, weren't you? So you're already a star. Ain't that something? I just thought I'd tell you, girls, you're already stars. And that's what a spiritual awakening is, to become aware of the truth. That's what it is. And the truth is not heavy. The truth is not heavy unless you want to carry it yourself. Let God carry the weight. And that's what humor is. Let God carry the weight. You just carry the truth. And let it be known it's only your opinion this month. That way it won't get burdensome for you either. See, because it ain't staying. It's so easy. See, it's that simple. So you are beautifully made. Look at the other things that God made. Look at the ocean. Look at the stars. You know, God's a creator, right? He made all those things. Right? He made you too. So if you look at the other stuff that God made, you want to say, does God make good stuff? You say, yeah, He makes some real good stuff. He made you, so that makes you good stuff. You got that? And you're made from the sea. He used good material. He used star material. So He made good stuff from star material. That makes you a star. That's it. I don't care what anybody tells you in the future. You know inside of you, you're made from the same stuff the stars are made of. And you're made by the same person that made the stars. That makes you a star right now and for as long as you want to be a star, okay? Yeah. And when you see me on the street someday and say, hey, Tom, it's Janet, the star. And I'll say, hi. Isn't that nice? That'd be fun, wouldn't it? And I will know exactly who you are. You're the star. Now you older ladies are also stars. But you're a little more stubborn than she is. She's a little more older than mine. You have to go through all your shit and I'll give you a shovel. We'll shovel that out of the way. She's giving me a shut up signal. I'm done. Okay.